You know what's cool is my next guest, or I should say my first guest. I say that a lot, my next guest, when it's my first guest. It's my first guest tonight. He was actually at the Victory Parade in 1871, the Prussian Parade in Paris, celebrating the Franco-Prussian War. So he covered that parade, and he covered the parade in 2010 with me. I always take a shot at one of my good friends, Marty Lurie. Marty, what's going on, man? Thanks for coming on.
Pleasure. Yeah, John McGraw and I, we actually did the commentary on that parade in 1921, so it was fun.
Stop. And I wanted to have you, because you're a dear friend, and today brought back a flood of memories for me, being on Market Street. You know, I've covered two parades, but today was the first one I could go fan mode. So I was walking up and down Market. I was on the corner of Market and Beale for most of the parade, and it was a cool spot because people were in their buildings looking down on the parade. The sun was kind of shining through. And all kinds of emotions were coming out today. I was shocked at the emotions that came back from 2010. And I spent that day with my children. Michelle was there, and you. And we had a great time in the KNBR pickup truck. And I want you to describe the feelings that you had. For me, it was when we turned on the parade route, and there was the big banner with the orange balloons, and we were in the canyons. And it was an emotional moment for me growing up a Giants fan, and I had some of those same memories today. Talk about 2010 and you and I covering the parade for KNBR.
Well, it was one of the greatest moments of my life. I had never, ever could imagine or been through anything like that. And you're right. When that parade started, I guess we're going down Main Street or whatever the first street was. Then we took the right onto Market Street. Just to see everybody hanging out of the windows and on the rooftops and screaming along the parade route, I had never seen anything like that in my life. And it was just a great celebration. So here you and I are on the flatbed truck. We really don't know what to do. And it's thrown back to us, and we just start talking. And I always say it's one of my great moments of life, talking to the world about the Giants World Championship and the parade. And I had never had anything like that before. It's a great emotion. The 2012 parade, same kind of thing. 14, even more dramatic. And I think it's a celebration. And it was a great celebration today. And that's what it's all about. The pressure is off, and now you can celebrate the accomplishment. And that's what I felt with you, that we just talked about going through a long season like that, going through all the playoffs and everything that went through it. It was like there was no more pressure on us. We could just celebrate. And that's what I felt. And I've never had another feeling like that other than going down these parade routes. Really, never.
But it was the first time in 52 years, and the Giants were so close in 2002, and that whole thing happened in Anaheim, and the fans were so hungry for a championship here. And it was, for me as a former player, to see the players just have that emotion of all the hard work and the culmination. And we could talk about 12, 14 and the Warriors. This was their fourth parade. The first one in San Francisco, so I felt like it hit a little different today. But for you and I to be that invested and to see the players and the looks on their faces and the fans, I mean, I'll never forget, Marty, just looking at the pure joy.
Exactly.
And all the fans in 2010, when people ask me about that parade, it's not about you and I broadcasting it, being on the float. It really wasn't even about the players for me. It was about every single face we looked at for, what, about an hour? It was pure joy. Like, you just, I can't think of any other moments in my life where when I look people in the eye from our vantage point and to just see screaming and yelling and pure joy, just a sparkle in everybody's eye. I mean, that's the euphoria of that moment is something I'll never, ever forget.
I agree. And I was going to use that word that you just used, purity. It was a pure moment. And you just don't get those in life all the time. Everybody was on the same page. Everybody could enjoy it. Everybody could look in the player's bus and see everybody. And it was just one of those moments. I'll tell you, it was, the pressure was off, and it was a celebration. And it was like New Year's Eve 100 times over. That's what it was. And you just didn't hold back. And to go along that parade route for you and me, and, you know, to see people and have people yelling our name, you know, and then, you know, the things I like to say, it's a mosaic and, you know, he can hit and all that stuff. They're yelling that back to us. It just was one of those moments of life that everyone could share. And they came over on BART. Everyone was dressed in the Giants colors. And the parade route was just completely jammed. And I always remember looking up at the office buildings on Market and seeing the windows and seeing people just hanging out, looking at us through those windows. And I don't know. I tell you, I haven't experienced anything like that in my life.
Marty Lurie joins me, FP Santangelo on KBAR tonight. We're going down memory lane at 2010 because today evokes so much emotion and so many memories for both of us, and to see the joy in the players' eyes. And when Steph Curry came by today, and Draymond and Clay, even Steve Kerr, to get out and shake hands with people. It's just we can't take these days for granted. Just a wonderful day in our city, a wonderful day for the Bay Area. But, you know, we fast forward to the Giants game tonight. They lose 2-1. I thought a really well-played baseball game. I mean, when you talk about pitching, and if you like pitching, tonight was your night. Logan Webb was outstanding. Max Fried was maybe just as outstanding, and it came down to timely hitting. And, Marty, the Giants have had trouble lately with some timely hitting and getting the big hit.
Well, that's the story, really, of the past few weeks here. And, you know, they've got a lot of wins, and they're getting it done with pitching, and they're getting that home run ball with all the solo home runs. But they haven't been able to get that big hit. If they're winning the game 2-1 and they get second and third, they just don't get that hit to make it 4-1. Everything is a nail-biter with them. But tonight, this game had everything. It had the romance of baseball, the excitement of baseball, the celebration. Atlanta is celebrating this World Series championship, and they celebrate it every single night. And you had that feeling during the game. You saw two aces on the mound, and I thought your open was terrific tonight, talking about Logan Webb and not having his slider. And he had to come back with changeups and fastball and different things like that. And he made it through seven innings, over 100 pitches. And he is an ace. And then on the other side, here's Max Fried throwing inside, 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 and getting all these outs. But that was the pitching. But what about the defense? And Duval, as John said, in left field, the two great catches he makes. Slater with the big hit. Flores chasing the Will Smith pitch in the dirt. Jansen, who we've seen a million times against the Giants with the Dodgers, coming in. It looks like a new pitcher. It looks like the cutter is back. And he just goes right through Belt and Crawford and Estrada. And then you've got Gonzalez, who, I agree, this guy should be in there every day. There's no question about it. He can control the bat. When he's got to go to left field with the pitch, he goes to left field. If he's got to pull it, he can pull it. He can steal a base. Now, he got picked off tonight, because he's never seen Max Fried's move before. And he wasn't going anywhere. He was just standing there watching. And all of a sudden, Fried just picked him off. So that was the one moment for him. But the game had everything. And the catches in left field really saved the game, I thought, tonight for the Braves. And then you get Leon, who comes in. And right away, Estrada, you know, boots a double play ball. And now you got first and second. And the very next pitch to Swanson, he just crushes it. And Estrada dives, makes the play. Harris, who took off on the line drive, which he really shouldn't have done, gets doubled off second, and here we go again. So I just thought the game had everything, except the Giants win. Then we go to the ninth inning with Duval coming in. And, you know, he's got the fastball. He didn't have great command. And as Bobby Cox always said, and then one of his great quotes was, if you see 100 long enough, eventually you get to time it. And he did get beat on the slider to a hitter that he probably could have overpowered in Arcia. And that was the game right there. But, FP, I'll tell you, it was riveting. I felt it was a playoff atmosphere, two playoff teams, and they went at it. And we've got three more games like that this week.
Yeah, buckle up.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Anymore.
Major leaguers could hit, you know, Tom Cruise flying an F-16 through the canyon with his afterburners on if you know it's coming. I mean, if you see enough fastballs, you can hit a fighter plane. Like,
that's
seriously.
That's what Ozuna did, I thought.
But two things, Marty. Yeah. I've been kind of banging this drum, and I'm not trying to stir the pot. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to, you know, people that get there at noon and leave at midnight every night that do it for a living. I used to always joke on the TV side that, you know, what do I know wearing makeup and a tie here? There's people that wear uniforms and do this for a living. And they know more about this than I do. But there's a lot of talk around town about Luis Gonzalez and how do you get him at bats. It's this simple for me. He's your best player. It's not about getting him at bats anymore. He's your best player. And I don't know if he's an all-star. I don't know about that. But the guy came up tonight, laid down a bunt. He started the rally in the eighth. He got the two-strike knock in the ninth. He's your best player. He's going to get at bats. And I know you heard the open and you were listening. And the other thing is I'm all about analytics and I'm all about matchups. And I'm not going to be the old guy that says, oh, no, you can't do this. No, this is part of baseball now. And it's fantastic that we have all this information. And this is the game that we love right now. But I like Jock Peterson to play a little more. 14 home runs on your bench to me, a dangerous guy that can run into one off a lefty, off a righty. And I'm sure if I Google Jock Peterson on Baseball Reference, and I do the splits right now, and I see versus left versus right, it'll tell me that he shouldn't play against lefties on a daily basis. But when you have a guy with 14 home runs, and he's that dangerous, and the right platoon is struggling a little bit, wouldn't you take a chance at playing him a little bit more against certain lefties here and there?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But that's not the way they do it. What got them 107 wins, which got them in a position now, and of course they're going to chase the Padres and Dodgers, and they can still win the division easily, but, you know, with the pitching they have, and the other two teams are banged up a lot. But that's the way they do it, FP. They like to platoon. And the problem is the right-handed side is not really carrying its weight right now. And that's Ruff and Longoria. Estrada comes through with some big hits here and there, the catcher. Is not doing much. And then Slater, you know, he did get the – Will Smith had to come in 3-1 with the bases loaded, and he didn't miss it and hit the shot to center field. And I agree, the runner had to – Estrada had to hold up because there was only one out. And you had Flores and Yastrzemski coming up, and Flores is one of your best hitters. So that's part of what you talked about. But, yeah, I'd love to see Jock play a little more. Why not? But then who do you take out, and what are you going to do when Lamont Wade comes back? They've got to figure that out, and they really have to figure out the right side of the batting order. That, to me, is the biggest issue right now.
Yeah, I mean, it is, and you're in a division where you don't have much room for error. That's the tough part. When you look at, like, I'm not into these power rankings that come out every week. I feel like it's somebody's opinion, and the two New York teams are at the top, and then it's the two Southern California teams that are 3-4 right now. When you're talking about, you know, the best teams in baseball, so you got the Yankees, the Mets, the Dodgers, and the Padres. So it's East Coast, West Coast, and it's just so much pressure. And I know there's another playoff spot, and I know there's another wild card spot, which is great. But when you're talking about keeping up with the Joneses, so to speak, in your own division, I think the Giants are doing a great job of doing that right now. You got to win the one-run games. You got to win the close ones. And tonight was just a baseball game. A baseball game happened. You happen to lose that game. But, yeah, you got to get healthy, and you got to keep getting pitching performances. I want to get your opinion real quick, Marty, on who you think are the Giants All-Stars. How many do you think they should have? I was looking at that today, and I have that as a segment today. On who you think the Giants should send to the All-Star game this year, or who the league should send?
Well, I think there'll be two. I think Crawford goes. You know, he's been there. And
you really think Brandon Crawford's going to be an All-Star this year? He's been struggling.
Yep. Well, look at the shortstops in the league, and I think you're going to put him in there. Swanson will go as well. But, yeah, Crawford goes for me, and then Logan Webb. And I think he goes over Rodon. Right now, and Webb just takes the ball, and we saw what he did tonight in the most hostile atmosphere, you know, of the world champions and Jock Peterson that whole night, total distractions, and he really measured up. So I say those two go. I want to follow up on one more thing that you said, which I agree with, and that is that Peterson is a better DH than La Stella, and I think they're pushing it with La Stella. To put him in that situation. That's where I would have liked to have seen Peterson. So there are times when you do want to see him, And tonight was one of them. It was his night. It was his night. And he almost hit the home run. He hit the ball down the right field line. Then a great defensive swing, but he did what he does best, and he can control the at-bat. And that's when he got the single to left field to get things going. And then, of course, Gonzalez gets a hit, and, they're off to the races.
He's a tough out, Marty, and that's the best compliment you can give a guy. There's two compliments that you love to hear as a player. He's a baseball player, and he's a tough out. Yeah. And I've had people shake their heads with, like, duh, if he's a baseball player, he's got to – no, he's a baseball player. Like, he's a baseball – Luis Gonzalez is a baseball player. Like, he's every bit of what you want in an athlete, in a baseball player. And
well,
I love the guy.
What does he do wrong?
He could tighten up his base running a little bit. And I'm not talking about getting picked off. Everybody gets picked off from Max Fried. I think he had 20 pickoffs last year. But as a player, when you know that, you stay close. You actually – it's called a one-way lead. When I faced Andy Pettitte, he had the best move in baseball – and it's one you can't see coming. It looks like he's going home. You get your secondary lead, bop. It's the first baseman tags you out. So when you have a guy like that, it's called a one-way lead, meaning I'm going to take a jab step back to first, and all my weight's on my left foot. And if he does come over, I just kind of plop back on the base and fall over. And if I do see the ball out of his hand to home, I get a shorter secondary lead, but I'm not getting picked off. So as a young player, you learn these things, and he learned today. He'll never get picked off by Max Fried again because he's a smart player. But his base running at times has been, I like the aggressiveness, but with aggressiveness comes, ooh, he shouldn't have done that, but that's fine. And that's the one part of his game I think he can tighten up, and that'll just come with experience.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. But what I love about him is his two-strike hitting. Look at how many, and even the whole team, I mean, they hit with two strikes all the time. They will not chase. They will not chase. I think sometimes they take too many 3-1 pitches, I'll tell you that. Where they're, if they're like Harris tonight, he got a bunch of hits with the pitches that were off the plate by 3-4 inches, but he had good bat control and he could take the ball the other way. And Gonzalez does that. There aren't many people on the team that'll do it. Listella will do it. When Crawford's going well, he'll do it. And I think Crawford should do it more, but that's what I see with Gonzalez. 2-strike hitting. And he can take the ball the other way, and he has an idea at the plate. Now, he's a rookie, and he's got to, get used to how pitchers will pitch him. He's probably going to see a lot more breaking balls. But with 2 strikes, I like the way he takes the ball the other way.
Well, Marty, thanks a lot for your time tonight. Thanks for joining me on the show. You're fantastic at what you do, and you're a good friend, and I love talking baseball with you. I love talking baseball with you off the air, but it's fun when we can do it on 50,000 watts and let everybody listen in.
And we could break it down. And what about bunting? Wait, bunting is gone. Is that the deal? No more bunting?
No more bunting, Marty.
First and second, nobody out. Eighth inning, you don't even think about
it. I'm trying to get ratings, Marty. If we talk bunting, we're going to lose everyone. Hey, bunting talk with Marty at FP. I got an idea. I'll meet you at Market Street in October. What do you think?
I'm in.
And we'd do it all over again. That would be fun. Who knows?
Absolutely.
The baseball season, as you know, is like a reality show. You never know which way it's going to turn. That's the beauty of it. Right now, the Giants are keeping pace, and they're just good enough to hang around. And I like this ball club. You know why? Because they're playing Giants baseball. They're putting on their hard hats. They're bringing their lunch pails, and they're fighting. And that's that's all you can ask for.
Give them a lead after 6. They bring it home. They know how to do it. And they're fine. They're in this thing. They just need some help on the right side right now.
All right, Marty. Thanks, buddy. I'll catch up with you off the air. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. Going down memory lane with Marty Lurie.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.